Blog Talk Radio.
I'm here, geez.
Oh, you motherfucker. Okay. All right.
That's a brand name, like Pepsi, that's a brand name. I stand behind it, I guarantee it. They know that, even if they don't know me any more than they know the chairman of General Mills.
What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is when you chop my dough down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5%, and then you call it Blue Magic, that is trademark infringement. You understand what I'm saying?
Y'all, it's your girl D. Scott. I am here. It is 15 minutes late, but that's okay because I can make some more time for y'all for the show. But we were having some technical difficulties, so my apologies for all y'all that are tuning in for the first time. Normally, I'm pretty, you know, on point, but today is September 14, 2015. We got through September 11th last week. You know, that was a trying time last year. I was actually in New York City at the time, and you know, I posted some video of that. And I was there for Fashion Week. You know, this year we decided to stay closer to home, near here, Toronto, for Toronto Film Festival. So I'm trying to do that a little bit this year. But, yeah, we had a little bit of a technical difficulty, so I'm about to continue to sip my wine. But definitely want to send a happy birthday shout-out to Nasir Jones. We all know him as Nas, as K-Boogie's, you know, people. Yeah, the party out in L.A., party out in Vegas, and also a happy birthday shout-out to the ever-illustrious, she would have been 32-year-old, Amy Winehouse. So we'll be playing some of my favorite tracks from the two of them, and they actually did a collaboration together on Cherry Wine, and then Amy Winehouse took one of his tracks and redid the beat. So, but yeah, so tonight's show is called Hormones, and I feel some type of way because I'm really uncensored, so my apologies, well, not really apologies, but like just forewarning some of y'all that are just tuning into me for the first time. And it was funny because I was asked last week by a Russian girl, she actually inboxed me, and she says, you know, I listened to your show for the first time, and you seem, because she knows me in person in real life, and she says, you seem so much different, and then when I listen to your show, you cuss a lot. And I said, yeah, I fucking cuss a lot because when I was nice, nobody fucking understood. You know what I mean? And when I was, you know, articulating very well and hitting people with facts and hitting people with statistics, no one respected it, no one believed it, and no one understood it, especially not the youth. And so I get a lot of younger women, especially the ones that I mentor or I try to take along on the journey with me. I'm currently, you know, looking for one or two interns to grow my brand, obviously. They'll get paid, you know, in trips. But you know, she said, why do you cuss so much? And I said, well, because, you know, motherfuckers understand when you call them a motherfucker. You know, they understand when you cuss them the fuck out. They understand when you come at them from a not nice place. Everybody wants to be so fucking politically correct these days, you know, and I don't fucking feel like it anymore. I'm older, I'm wiser. I don't have to fucking be nice to you. If you're not going to be nice to me, I'm going to call a spade. You know, and she goes, oh, you know, I understand. I definitely get it. Look, my message wasn't being communicated properly when I was like, you know, the ye shells and the he shells, just like y'all don't like Bible toters. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to come at y'all like that. I'm trying to come at y'all and keep it real and say, you know, I fall short sometimes by the grace of God. And I'm a fucked up individual sometimes. Like tonight, I'm really fucked up because a friend of mine, you know, he feels some type of way. And, you know, me and my comrades, we're all close. You know, I don't have very many friends. And, but let's be clear, the friends I've had them for decades, like 20 and 30 years. So I know how to keep a relationship going, male or female. And the reason that tonight's show is about whores, concubines, and queens is because I don't think that people know the difference. And it's funny because I know a hoe when I see one. And I'm calling this motherfucker a true, full whore. I'm going to say all the words out, all the syllables in that because I knew she was a whore when I seen her. And, you know, it's funny because my grandmother, my mother, you know, and I used to always be mad at my mom because she would meet some of my friends and she would be like, you know what I mean? Because not because my mom, you know, they know better. Older people know better. They know when your intentions aren't good. They know when you just really ain't shit. You know, I remember my great-grandmother meeting one of my boyfriends at the time that went on to try to kill me, and she said, you know, he's so damn black, you know, he'll make he said he looked like a fly in the buttermilk. No, charcoal make a white mark on him. That's how dark he was. And that's not to say, because she was married to a black man, but what she's saying is I know this motherfucker. I've seen him before, just in a different form, you know. The gang don't change, the day changes. Not the gang. The gang don't never change. Although I beg to differ. So, My homeboy, you know, started talking to this girl, and you got to be careful of the bum bitch, you know. And we talk a lot about, and I have some videos on YouTube where I talk about the bum residue. And I talk about the fact that when you're in a bad place spiritually and mentally, you attract that. You attract what you are. And that's why no matter what, I always tell people, that's what they do. That's not what I do. What I do is completely different because I have to maintain a certain level of respect and integrity and just assholeness about myself. So when I'm not 100, I'm going to attract what's not 100, right? So that's where you see these codependent relationships and you see, you know, men and women that really shouldn't be together. And you'd be like, what the fuck, how did they even meet? Like, they don't match. They don't look, you know. I like to be completely obsessed with my lover, my paramour, or whatever, and I like for him to be completely obsessed about me. And it shows in photographs or anything like that. So people know, you know what, I don't think I could fuck with them. You know, so people don't hashtag photos of me and my love as, you know, relationship goals or whatever, whatever. But you could definitely tell when I do post a photo here and there that, like, there's love, there's loving energy. We're beating the brakes off each other. We genuinely like each other. We love each other. And so I meet this girl a few months ago, you know, and it was my clique was around, you know, and we meet her out of town. And immediately, I don't like this motherfucker because I don't like the way you look. I don't like the way that my friend looks when he's with you. I don't like the fact that as a female, you know, we're, you know, almost like sisters. You know, all my male friends, all my female friends were like sisters and brothers. So in this moment, if that's my brother and you knew that we had dinner plans and all these other things, you should have saw to it that perhaps maybe he was a little bit scatterbrained that day. And maybe your first time meeting me and my sister should have been, you maybe wanted to be on time, you know. And I don't even remember what she had on because she's that insignificant. But I do know that if I'm meeting someone's brother or sister for the first time, I'm going to make sure that I'm completely appropriate, you know, and everything's cool. So my family's there, you know, it was a big outing, we were all out of town, and I immediately don't like her because of her actions and just her energy was just, it was very like whore-like, you know, I could just tell that she had delusions of grandeur about her sexuality, and I don't lead with sex, so I can see it coming from a mile away. So, and I don't care if my whole nipple, titty, whatever was out of my, you know, shirt, and I can exude sexuality without being sexual, if that makes sense. And this motherfucker had now learned that lesson. And she was very insignificant, you know, she might have been cute, but she wasn't what my brother, you know, would have normally chosen. So it was really an honor that you even got to meet me and my sister in the first place. So what ends up happening is, they're there late, so dinner plans had already been forged. Everybody had went to dinner. The mood was kind of, you know, a little somber because nobody did what they were supposed to do. So we go out that night, just us siblings, and she was very odd. Like, you know, first of all, she came out with an asymmetrical boutique off the internet T-shirt ass dress on. I don't believe in wearing certain types of cotton past 6 p.m. because those are daytime clothing. That's not... Meanwhile, me and my sister, I mean, we donned to the nines. We got, you know, dresses from L.A. on. And I'm not saying that you need to compete with me because you could never. But what I'm saying is that you knew that it was a special occasion, yet you came up here looking 52%, and we're on 100. So now you feel some type of way. And she was, you know, she was on hungry, hungry hippo status. You know, if I had a bag of marbles, it would have suited her probably just fine. She would have ate them too. So we go out. We're in this very swanky place. She's with my brother. And, you know, it was a special occasion. Me personally, not saying that she needed to gain me and my sister's favor, but I feel like she should have been a little bit nicer, or maybe she could have something to talk about. And specifically when my sister asked her a question, she couldn't answer the question. She's looking at my brother. She's, you know, whatever, whatever. And we're just like, don't you have a fucking mind of your own? Like, we're trying to get to know you, bitch. And then, you know, you're fucking it up for everyone. Okay. So now I don't like her. She came in the house. You know, she was sitting places she had no business sitting. She was, you know, to me, certain things are very inappropriate, and I know what that looks like because that's typical side chick behavior. Not that we have not all been the side chick. That's why it's easy for me to identify, because I function as a queen, not a concubine, not a side chick, but as a queen. So if I'm sitting up on my palace and I'm looking and I'm like, this is not going to work because my brother is a king and my sister's a queen, so this is all... You know, and I'm not exaggerating. Like, when we walk into a place, this is how we present. You didn't match. So you don't match my brother, but we'll allow it. He's happy, cool, whatever. So she had came up, and she visited, you know, with my brother, whatever. And I really didn't like her, just because I felt like she was dirty. She had, like, dirty bum, like, dirty dishwater energy about her. You know what I mean? Like, she didn't bring her A game, and this is the A team. So I don't understand how that happened. So my brother decides that he wants to go visit her, and we urged him, listen, just go for a couple of days, you know, because I am the queen of long-distance relationships, and I like long-distance relationships because I'm fucking busy. I don't want you in my fucking face every goddamn day. I need to know that I can reach out and touch you when I need to. If I want to send a funny picture or a meme, or you want to send me something funny, if I want to send you a present and you want to send me a present, that's fine. But when we get together, it's all about solace. It's all about finding, you know, a special place where we can coexist as two human beings and be in love and be in lust and be in like and be all these things. I have never, I don't think, in the past 15 years, gone somewhere and I felt like I was an inconvenience to the man that I was dealing with or anything like that. And I feel like when my people went, you know, out of town in her space, that she, you know, made my brother feel inconvenienced, or like he was like getting on her nerves or something. And this is funny to me because, you know, he doesn't give anybody a chance. You know what I mean? This is a guy that, you know, writes for European magazines and has following of over 1 million people, and that shows in what he chooses to spend his money and devote his time on. You know, so I think that she was very confused into thinking that my family was going to be tricked into dealing with her on the level that she's used to being dealt with, which is total typical side chick behavior. She's not even a concubine. So, you know, the side chick behavior states that, you know, I'm only important to you if I'm sleeping with you, you know. And we knew that she wasn't going to have very many things to talk about my brother, because my brother is brilliant. So, you know, she's not in the same field that we're in. She's not in the same business. You know, my sister handles my legal affairs, my accounting affairs and things like that. Everything is a well-meshed, you know, family. And so she wasn't going to be able to add anything. And so I always warn people, when somebody doesn't have anything to add, obviously they came to break or they came to build. She couldn't build with you. So the only thing that she had to offer you was donkey ass. You know what I'm saying? And so physically, and this is why I tell people all the time, like, it's not being shallow, it's being fucking honest. Motherfucker, I don't like you. You're too big. You're too small. You're too whatever. I don't fuck with you like that. If I don't fuck with you, there's nothing I could do. The worst thing that you could ever hear me say is, he's nice, but. I don't want, you know, there should never be a but. You know, and coming from me, I'll share something personal about myself. You know, if I'm with my lover, or I'm with my, you know, my paramour or whatever, same person, you know, I don't need to drink. I don't need to smoke weed. I don't smoke anyways. I don't need any type of alteration to be intimate with him, or to love on him, or to touch him. I don't even need the fucking television. I don't need no music. We could just beatbox on this ass. That's what we could do. I don't need nothing. It's just me and him. And we caught up. And this spans decades. We're not talking about, I have never, if I'm into somebody, I'm into them. I don't need any type of chemical alteration, because if I need that, then it's not real. And I feel like she could only deal with people, which is typical side chick behavior. You know, you pick a side chick up, you swing an app with her in a car. She's giving you brains in the car. She's, you know, she's doing you in the back seat, and you just giving her a little bit of, like, a little Hennessy up underneath the seat. Then you drop her off at the crib. So side chicks are going to always have fucking intimacy issues, especially if they're a career side chick. Especially, she's older than me and my family. You know what I mean? So you have this whore-like behavior that she's only used to the hotels and things like that. She's not used to anybody being serious with her or saying, you know, I'm going to take you around my family. So these are things that make whores feel fucking uncomfortable. You know, even a concubine knows her rightful place. You know, if you don't know what a concubine is, you need to Google it. They're very popular. And, you know, kind of like your modern-day geisha. They're very popular in Chinese, Asian, Western culture. Motherfuckers can't afford concubines in the United States. You know, concubine is your true form mistress that you are. She is literally there to serve you, and that's what she does, but you're paying for that. You know what I mean? But I can't even call a concubine a whore, because at least a concubine, that's how she was raised. She was raised to be next in line to the wife, to take care of the man if the wife is not taking care of him. A whore has no benefit at all and is a fucking detriment to fucking society, because all they're going to do is raise whore daughters and then whore sons, and then they don't know how to function in public when you come into contact with queens. And it's not like we don't know. We didn't know this motherfucker was a whore. We knew he was a whore, bitch. You know what I mean? And I call you bitch because I don't feel like saying your name, and you know. The bottom line is that when I was living in Florida, you know, I lived down there, and a lot of shit happened to me when I was down there. And I always said that if my brothers knew, or if my brothers was down there, 100% of anything that happened to me down there would have never happened. My divorce wouldn't have went down the way, but they would have fucking beat the shit out of my husband, my ex-husband. They don't know what the fuck you mean. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wouldn't have went down like that. The abuse and certain things that happened to me when I was living in Florida, this shit would have never happened. So I feel like you got my people down there. You got him in a stuck situation. You know what I'm saying? If he would have called me and my other sister and we would have got him out of there, now you're responsible because now you have to deal with me and her. So you didn't want to deal with me and her when you was here because you're a fucking whore. And you know, you didn't have nothing to talk to us about. You can't talk to me about politics. You can't talk to me. I don't give a fuck if you read 100 motherfucking holy Qurans. You're not holy. You're a fucking whore. And it showed in every single thing that she did. I don't know if a lot of you young ladies understand that sometimes when you act like a whore, I still see the queen in you. You know what I'm saying? So I look at a lot of these young girls, especially girls that I work with, and I'm like, ooh, that's not who you are. You don't see what I see. You understand what I'm saying? I had to have my sister tell me that one time, like, nah, you don't got to talk to that dude. You don't see what he's seeing. I see it. You don't see it, right? But this chick, in the rare instance, was a real fucking whore, like a real, like, she probably accepted money for sexual favors, whore. You understand what I'm saying? And then the fact that, as a woman, you don't know how, let me tell you something about a woman. A woman can entertain a man in anybody's home. You know, I don't care, and this goes back to a book that, I read a few years ago by a Texas author, and it was called Men Don't Heal, We Hoe. And basically what he was saying is that, you know, Stephen James Dixon, he never came out with the second book. This is something that me and my partners joke about, me and my editor, so and then he joke about the fact, yeah, you can write one book, write two. You know what I'm saying? But Stephen James Dixon never came out with another book. But he wrote this book called Men Don't Heal, We Hoe. And in the book, he illustrates how when he went through his divorce with his wife, whose name is Denise, she was a physician, and he talks about how he started dating, and he brought a woman to his house, and it was Thanksgiving, you know, and we are in the height of cuffing season, and you don't know what that is. I talk about it extensively on Instagram. You can go on my YouTube page, D Scott, DESCOTT, or you can go on my Instagram at miss.d.scott, or my Twitter at DMSST93. And I talk about extensively what cuffing season is, and basically it has the same lines as football season. You know, you get a roster. You're dating. That's what you're supposed to do. And so dude talks about how he dated this chick. He brings her to the crib for Thanksgiving. And he's in the living room watching, you know, Thanksgiving football, whatever, whatever. And the chick wanted to stay in the living room with him. And he was like, I knew right then and there I couldn't marry her and I couldn't be with her because she should have been in the kitchen with my mother. Now, there's a lot of bitches out there and a lot of females that are going to say, well, you know what, that's wrong, that's terrible. No, it's not. He's a man. Let him go do manly shit. You know, if you like football, that's cool, but you couldn't go in the kitchen and help his mama stuff the turkey. You couldn't go in the kitchen and make no dressing, peel no sweet potatoes. You couldn't do nothing. Your job as a woman, you know what I'm saying, you're supposed to be bonding with the other women in his family. And if you can't bond with his mama, his sister, his cousin, nobody, that means that you cut from a different club and you're not supposed to be here. I can't invite you to eat at my table. You're not cut from the same tablecloth. You understand what I'm saying? And so it was a valuable lesson that my brother had to learn, you know, because of the fact that I think that what happens is when we get bored or when we look at certain qualities of a person, that doesn't mean that we should date them. Might mean we can maybe fuck with you, whatever, whatever, but he treated her like a queen. See, and I always tell women, you know, a king is supposed to be a king at all times. A queen is a queen at all times. So it doesn't matter if this dude over here is acting the fuck up. You can act up all you want. I still treat mine like a king. I still treat him like he's the only one, you know, the apple of my eye. You know why? Because that's how the fuck I was raised. So I don't give a fuck if I have four other boyfriends. It doesn't matter. They all getting treated like kings in a different way. Whatever it is that you need, I got you, right? But I can't fuck with four different dudes because I'm not a fucking whore, so I can't do it. My attention span is only enough for one at a time. I'm not a man, and so. This motherfucker, how do you manage to make someone feel uncomfortable in your home, but you invited them in? You understand what I'm saying? So that's whore-like behavior because you're not used to a motherfucker staying over in the morning. You're not used to having to get up and cook breakfast or having to cater to a man because you only know how to do it physically because you're a goddamn whore. And that is the difference. A lot of women talk about getting a man. You could get him, but can you keep that motherfucker? Because, see, the last time I checked, anytime I try to walk away from a motherfucker, they'd be like, nah, not today. Not today, you not. You see what I'm saying? Because it's worth it. So whatever problem that I give them or, you know, just little spoiled brat shit, they're like, it's worth it because I care about her. She's a woman. She's a queen. She's not going to do me wrong. She's coming from a good place. She's just a fucking brat. But I'm never, ever, ever. Nobody in the history of life has ever referred to me in the same sentence as a whore. They'll tell you straight up, that's my queen, that's my whatever, whatever. And I feel like my brother tried to treat this woman like the queen, but he should have treated her like the common street whore that she was, the street serpent. You know, and I think that what ends up, and it's terrible because she's an older motherfucker. You know, she wasn't physically, you know, the form that he liked. She was completely unworthy of any of his time. And it's funny because me and my sister used to joke with him and be like, now you see why I'm mad? Because I was dating this motherfucker over here in Detroit. Because not that that wasn't my homeboy, not that I didn't have love for him, you know, when we was younger, but because I didn't need to spend that level of time on it. My family allowed me to date that person, make that mistake in a controlled environment because, you know, I was going through something at the time. I don't know what my brother's going through, but I do know that I feel like she stole something from him. And I feel like now, you know, and I did, and it is fucked up because in the beginning I gave the broad credit. I said, well, at least she does what she says she's going to do. All whores do. You know, if a whore tell you don't make your toes curl, make your, you know, your baby hair in the back stand up, she probably going to do it. Like my mama say, don't argue with chicks that come from certain places because they don't have shit to lose. Can't be with anybody that don't have as much to lose as I do. You understand what I'm saying? So, yeah, I might be in certain situations that are not PC or that are not, you know, worthy of me mentioning at the time. But at the same time, I know that if you piss me off, you got just as much shit to lose as I do, whether it's reputation, whether it's your house. Might burn the bitch down. I don't know. But this broad, I felt like she felt like my brother was singular. You understand what I'm saying? When he was down there, he ain't never singular. We are army. We come as a fucking package deal. We will fuck you up. You understand what I'm saying? Goddamn whore. Motherfucker. And the thing that, and it's funny because I don't know if my brother's feelings are hurt or if it's his ego. I can't tell. We won't be able to tell right away because of the fact that the ego is what, because I'm not a normal female. I'm a goddamn psychopath. So you can't really hurt my feelings. You can hurt my ego. Now, the person that I do right now, he probably got a little bit of power to hurt my feelings because I genuinely am coming from a place of purity because I'm not a fucking whore. However, this motherfucker is only, she only functions on an ego level, an egotistical level. So when he didn't feed her ego, You know, and another thing, ladies, don't ask motherfuckers questions you don't really want the answers to. If you ask me or any one of my family, listen, men are like children, at least the men that I deal with, my brother. If I ask my brother, hey, am I gaining weight? Yeah, you gaining weight. Your stomach look a little fat today. It looks smaller on other days. I got to take that because I asked the fucking question. You know, so don't ask my brother. Don't ask my son. Don't ask my stepdad. Don't ask none of these motherfuckers, hey, what you think? Because we're going to tell you the truth. You know, I posted something today where my son said, I wish that, you know, what's my one wish for peace when my son said could handle the truth? You know, and that's word. That's peace because at the end of the day, you know, if I'm asking you a question, it's not because I'm fishing for compliments. It's because I genuinely want to know the answer. Only a whore asks questions to fish for a compliment. And so what my brother doesn't understand is that perhaps maybe that set the tone because she was already feeling uncomfortable. Well, motherfucker, you know eating a gallon of motherfucking Bluebell ice cream is going to cause you to gain weight? The fuck? Don't eat the shit. You know, you think we just out here just, you know, just thin and shit? No, motherfucker, I just said the other day, I said I put on 15 pounds. So I gained 170 pounds, but I was also on a birth control method that I don't need to be on. So obviously I had not changed my dietary habits, but I'm 5'6" and was weighing 155. Okay, I've been the same weight for decades. Okay, at my smallest, I'm 140. At my marathon, when I'm running a race weight, I'm about 160. But I don't care about the weight. I just care about how my clothes look on me or how I look in a bikini. So is my belly as tight as I want it to be? No. But my booty got big, my legs got big, and I carry the weight well. I know that. I don't need to ask. You know, but some people can't gain 10 pounds because they 5'1". You understand what I'm saying? And they was already weighing 180. You can't gain 10 pounds. You look fucked up like a fucking hungry hippo. And I'm only saying that because, you know, people want to sit up and talk about, well, these skinny bitches. And don't call me no skinny bitch. I ain't nobody's skinny bitch. Just because I don't wear double digits and pants don't mean shit. You understand what I'm saying? So you don't want me to call you a big bitch, don't call me a skinny bitch. Because I will slap your throat. Okay? Now, the other issue, queens, concubines, and whores, is that concubines, you know, these are women that are raised by a side chick, you know what I'm saying, and they grow up not wanting to be a side chick. Concubine got a little bit more sense than the whore. You see what I'm saying? The concubine is getting shit. You know what I mean? And that's different from a whore because whores nowadays, not a hoe, whores, full whore, WH, they're not getting shit. You know what I'm saying? You just getting rolled wet and put the bed. That's it. You don't want a man in your space. You have intimacy issues. How do you have intimacy issues, but you fuck everybody? I don't understand. And so what a lot of people don't understand is that intimacy is not just sex. Intimacy is, I had to tell my people one day, I said, listen, if you ever get caught out there, just know this as a woman. We don't really give a fuck. Like, I'm not saying I don't care, like, if you cheated or if you, you know, slept with somebody. Of course I care. I'm going to kill you. But what I'm saying is that the part that hurts the most is the intimacy level. You know, the thousands of text messages, the thousands of, you know, acclamations of love and, you know, I miss you and, you know, if it wasn't for you, this wouldn't have happened. And those are that hurt. Not the, you know, I met you at the corner store and we went to the hotel and whatever. That doesn't hurt. I don't care about that. You're a man. Men do what men do. You're going to get beat the fuck up, and I'm not going to talk to you anymore. But this is what men do. But what really hurts women is intimacy. And one of the first things that a woman, if we find out that our man's been tripping, and I saw this on some, I commented the other day, and I like the way that Ava DuVernay, she slid that in there because I remember having to defend this Martin Luther King situation because somebody came out and was like, yeah, you know, people don't want to talk about the fact that Martin Luther King, you know, was a cheater and he was sleeping with white women and all this other shit. That's the motherfucker. I feel like you're talking about, like, my father. Don't talk about no goddamn Martin Luther King. The fuck, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't talk about Martin Luther King. You don't talk about Malcolm X. You don't talk about Langston Hughes. You don't talk about none of them. You don't do that. You know what I'm saying? Let that man rest. You know, so the way that Ava DuVernay put it in the movie, you know, a tape was sent to Malcolm, which is true, and I did a fact check on everything, and, you know, we talked about James Reeb and all these other things on my Facebook. If you're on my Facebook, that means you're a personal friend of mine because I don't, you know, put that information out there because my family's on it. So we talked about James Reeb, which is the white Unitarian priest that got killed you know, they talk about, you know, this, that, and the third. But one of the things Coretta said to Malcolm is, the first thing out of her mouth, do you love her? Just tell me this, do you love me and do you love her? That's all we care about. And a whore doesn't care about that. A whore does not want you to love her. She don't want you to do nothing but fuck her. That's all she wants, because that's the only way that she knows how to communicate. And being abroad in your 40s and in your late 30s, if you can only communicate with your puss, oh, honey, you're losing in life. That's not how you possess a man. That's a weak man that would allow you to possess him just only sexually. And I've said this for many, many years. You got to get in his head before you get in his bed. None of my relationships have spanned less than 2, 3, 5, 5, 17 years, okay? I have motherfuckers that, you understand what I'm saying, decades later, even though we're not together, they may have moved on in life, they may be married, they'd be like, but I loved her. You understand what I'm saying? For whatever reason, what happened, I loved her. I loved Denise, the little crazy motherfucker. I loved her. They will not speak ill of me. Now, they might speak ill of me when they're mad, but at the end of the day, the experience that I offer a man, especially a man that I love or a man that I respect or a man that I cherish, it's never an episode. I don't ever go into something with, you know, with my vajayjay first, because I'm just, that's just not what you do. So although, you know, queens, we're still sexual, we're still, you know, we still get it popping, that's not the end all be all. I'm trying to possess you. I want you to be mine. I want you to be with me. I don't want you to just, when you think of me, you just think about hitting it from the back, or you just think about, you know what I'm saying? You know, that's all I want you to do, and I'm taking the role as a man, because if I have to be the man in the bedroom, you've already lost. You're just a bitch. You understand what I'm saying? And my brother ain't no bitch. So, when she, you know, I feel like when these whores don't get what they want, which is just the sexual connotation so they can end up on a Maury Povich show, then they start to act out. And what a lot of men don't understand is a whore is a whore. She don't have no allegiance to you. If she's not fucking you, she's going to go fuck somebody else. And it doesn't really matter. She don't give a fuck. That's how these bras end up. Those are whores that you see on Maury Povich. Those ain't talking about. Those are whores. Those are girls that are like, I can't keep my legs closed and my mind open long enough to say, let me accept. And people don't understand that the loving is so much better when you respect somebody, when you care about them, when you love them, or when you lust them, even in that kind of way. You know, I don't like love. It's not really my thing. I really fucking can't stand it. It's not what I do. However, I like somebody. I like to possess somebody else. I like for them to be, you know, nauseous, you know, when we're not together, and to think about me and to go crazy for me, because I go crazy for them too. No, I am crazy. Not go crazy. I am crazy. But the fact that you can't even function in your own home with a man being there, you understand what I'm saying? And you're a mother. You've been a wife maybe once, maybe twice, but that's not your natural role. You understand what I'm saying? So I don't understand why, you know, you men, you think that you can, this is the epitome of what they mean when they say you can't turn a whore into a motherfucking housewife. It was not meant to be. She saw some shit. It is what it is. She's only used to being treated a certain way, and there's nothing that you could do or say that's not going to make her be a motherfucking whore. That's just what it is. You know, in this particular one right here, I'll fucking slap her ass in the motherfucking throat. I cannot be bothered with this broad, because I just feel like you didn't even, the two closest people to this man, you didn't even try to make a conscious effort. And then I feel like when my brother got down, I was like, you forgot, like, both his sisters was fucking crazy. Like, are you fucking crazy? Like, girl, bye. But it is Nas's birthday. I definitely want to go ahead and send a shout out to my girl, Kay Boogs. So I'm about to play this very special Nas song and dedicate the album where he had Khaleesi's wedding gown. And don't get it twisted, we're going to listen to some more Nas and some Amy Winehouse. But for now,
for tennis, online engine in Venice. Shout to them niggas, family men, bringing home dinners. Watch out for desperate, lonely women, hurt your happy home. Miserable and alone, kissable, nice to bone. She not the type deserving of a throne. Her beauty is her curse. She fuck for shoes and a purse. Make me a movie first, can watch you on my phone. I shop in Barcelona, I spend some nights in Rome. Feel like a knight from England, that's what I named my son Knight. He was born to be one, that's how my game was won. White 740 Beamer, licked by an angel's tongue. I'm living dangerous, son. She got a man, a famous one. Honey be pocket watching. She got a lot of options. Hard to make up her mind, deciding which baller to rock with. Hot to death, slim pickings, but I'm not impressed. She got the hottest sex, so I guess I'ma just say. Friday night, can't wait to fight you. Locked up, I would knife you, don't fuck with you. Last month, I even bucked at you. You got locked, I felt bad. Wait, do I got love for you? I might kill you, but do I got love for you? I want you dead under 6 feet of soil. You at the same time, want you here to witness me while you in misery. We hate each other, but it's love, what a thug mystery. Years ago, they ate the hearts of a slain enemy. We enemies, but your hatred can never enter me. Some seek fame because they need validation. Some say hating is confused admiration. Spotlight on me, I still look 20, still get money. Lady killer pushing a Bentley. Maybe niggas can see too much of these failures through a nigga who realer. I don't like you near, bruh, but I need you to stay.
Hear that just because that's how I was feeling in the moment and shit, but come on, y'all. Y'all know I'm a 90s gal, so you know I gotta take it back just a little.
Yo, yo,
hey.
Yo, keep it real, suck.
From my girl,
K.
Brooklyn,
yeah,
to hire
that. Hey, yo, put the grass over there and
yeah.
Say, you know what I'm saying? Because we've been in these Jacksons.
I'm gonna get back
Washington's
to talking
go to
shit,
white.
I'm gonna
you know
let
that go first.
I'm saying that's what this is all about, right? Clothes, bank rolls, and hoes, you know what I'm saying? Yo, then what, man? What?
Visualizing the realism of life and actuality. Fuck who's the baddest. A person's status depends on salary. And my mentality is money orientated. I'm destined to live the dream for all my peeps who never made it. Cause yeah, we were beginners in the hood as 5%ers. But something must have got in us, cause all of us turned to sinners. Now some resting in peace and some are sitting in San Quentin. Others such as myself are trying to carry on tradition. Keeping the sweat for rest and speak ghetto essence and spot us. Cause it provides us with the proper insight to guide us. Even though we know somehow we all gotta go. But as long as we leave and even we'll be leaving with some kind of dope. So into that day we expire and turn to vapors. Me and my capers, I'll be somewhere stacking plenty papers. Keeping it real, packing still, getting high. Cause life's a bitch and then you die. Life's a bitch and then you die. That's why we get high, cause you never know when you're gonna go. Life's a bitch and then you die. That's why we puff lie, cause you never know when you're gonna go. Life's a bitch and then you die. That's why we get high, cause you never know when you're gonna go.
I woke up early on my born day. I'm 20, it's a blessing. The essence of adolescence leaves my body now freshened. My physical frame is celebrated cause I made it. One quarter to life, some godly like thing created. Got rhymes, 365 days annual plus some. Load up the mic and bust one. Cuffs while I puss from my skull cause it's pain and my brain vein. Money maintained, no go against the grain. Simple and plain. When I was younger, this I used to do my thing hard. Robbing foreigners, take their wallets, they jewels, and rip their green cards. Deter the project flashing, my quick cash and got my first piece of ass smoking blunts with hash. Now it's all about cash in abundance. Niggas I used to run with is rich, are doing years in the hundreds. I switched my motto. Instead of saying fuck tomorrow, that buck that bought a bottle could have struck the lotto. Once I stood on the block, loose cracks, produced stacks. I cooked up and cut small pieces to get my loot back. Time is illmatic, keep static like wool fabric. Pack a formatic to crack your whole cabbage.
Life
sitting here drinking my Pinot Noir. Definitely had to give a shout out to Nas, Nasir Jones, as we know him, celebrating his birthday. I'm sure he's 40 plus. Definitely Amy Winehouse's birthday as well. She'd have been 32 years old. And as y'all know, I do my show, Tell the Truth Tuesday, based on, you know, mental illness and trying to raise awareness. And I talk about my own battles and my own struggles with certain shit, my paranoia. And, you know, I have some information for you guys for the show tomorrow. But definitely, you know, Amy Winehouse, we all know, you know, powerhouse, abused drugs and alcohol, you know, was in a codependent relationship. And she died from causes that actually they claim were not due to, you know, her drug abuse, but obviously, you know, long term, these are things that affect your body, they affect your mind, they affect your soul. So your body's not able to fight off infections as well as it would have if your heart wasn't pumping too much because you were doing too much coke or you were doing heroin or, you know, whatever it was she was doing. And actually, her and Nas had a very brother sisterly, like, he felt he needed to protect her. So when he would go to England, he actually cut a couple albums with her and actually sampled her in Cherry Wine, and she actually sampled one of his tracks, which we're going to play a little bit later. But I want to get back to talking about these motherfucking whores. So here's the other thing. Like, people think that I'm just mean, and, like, me and my sister, like, we just, that's how we are. We just mean, and we don't let outsiders in. That's true, probably about 90%. But 10% of it is because, motherfucker, we've seen you before in some type of life form, and we don't appreciate your presence because you're not bringing anything to the table. So just like if you was going to say, you know, what can a man bring to the table, motherfucker, what are you bringing to the table? I own the table and the four chairs that go here. I think my sister got six chairs at her table. So, I mean, at the end of the day, like, what the fuck are you bringing here to add to him? So these are questions that I have to ask my brother when I'm sitting there like, these are reasons why we're not going to fuck with this broad. You know what I'm saying? A, you know what I'm saying? She's not wife material. We too old to be sitting up here swinging episodes with motherfuckers that we're either not going to marry, which I'm okay with that because a lot of people don't understand, like, you can't sell me on a dream I've already lived. I've already been married. I already have my most precious baby. You know what I mean? So, yes, you know, I would love a little girl or maybe to be pregnant because I didn't get any stretch marks. I didn't get morning sickness. I didn't get any of that. But if this shit doesn't happen, I'm good with what God gave me. And a lot of women get confused into thinking that, you know, you were put here just to give birth and be married. That's no, not really. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I don't like when people make it seem like, because I'm going to tell you right now, had I not met my husband and he married me within a 90-day flight, Denise would still be out here, no kids, being a big old fucking pimp. Not a whore, but a goddamn pimp. Okay, and would have just been just fine keeping all my money to myself, living lavish, being an asshole to the rest of the United States of America. You know, but now I have boom, and I have, you know, have to raise him up in the right way. But one of the reasons that I don't like a lot of motherfuckers is because, like I said, sometimes, especially when I see young girls, they don't see the crowns. I do. It's you old motherfuckers that be the real whore. You old motherfuckers, you broads kill me. Like, y'all be trying to come into the situation like you have rights and shit. You don't have no motherfucking rights when you in my state. You can't even come to my state, more or less be in any restaurant or any domain where me and my family are and try to act like you have more rights than we do and you have more power. The only reason you have more power is because you can open your leg to my brother, and that's not what we do. But see, you can't keep my brother. My brother's not going to listen to you, and my brother's not going to respect of whoreness. This is how whores communicate. If you can't sit with a man and have a conversation with him and him, you know, not take something away from that conversation, you might be a whore. If you can't sit there and figure out ways to make people feel, that's your job to make someone feel comfortable in your home. It's not their job. You know, and if I can't make you feel comfortable in my home, then I'm going to take you somewhere where I know you're going to be comfortable, so it's a neutral ground. You know, because not everybody gets to meet the kid. You know what I'm saying? In fact, nobody gets to meet the kid. So the probability that a man will ever come to my house here, Texas, Florida, anywhere is like zero. You know what I'm saying? So, but when it comes to being a goddamn whore, I feel like just like the bum residue, like I talk about the bum residue, and again, I said you can go on my YouTube page. it's just something that just it repels. And so when I met this motherfucker, I didn't like her. And they was like, oh, you just don't like her just because you don't. No, I don't like her because she's a goddamn whore. And I know, and if you listening, I'm telling you, yes, I knew you was a motherfucking whore. And I don't care because you ain't going to say shit to me because, you know, I will slap your throat. I won't even punch you in the throat. I'm going to just slap you in that motherfucker because it's so disrespectful because of what you did to my brother, because you keep thinking that my brother was just down there as an army of one. No, he got a whole brick squad. You understand what I'm saying? Girl, please. And not only that, we knew you wasn't shit when we met you. You know, you would allow my brother to fall. That's who you are. And that's whore-like behavior. Whores are not there to build. Me, you know what I'm saying? Even a concubine is in the business of, and again, you have to compare a concubine to a modern-day geisha, which still very much exists in, you know, the Asian and European countries, but they're raised that way. They're raised to be what are considered perfect women, so that if the man is married, because these are in other nations where they're allowed to have more than one wife, the concubine is typically the second, third, fourth, fifth, whatever wife. And when I'm not talking Middle Eastern culture, I'm talking Asian culture. If you watch The Joy Luck Club, one of my favorite movies ever, you want to learn about being a woman and the difference between a queen, a concubine, first wife, second wife, all that shit, go watch that shit. But, and the movie's probably 20 years old, but it's about Asian, so Chinese to be exact. But, you know, when you're dealing with a concubine, you're dealing with a woman that knows how to behave. This motherfucker didn't even know how to behave. You don't even know how to dress according to your body type because you used to being naked. Think about this. There's a psychology to it. Think about it. You know, you don't even know how to dress to your body type, and she was a big motherfucker. You know, totally not my brother's type, and so that's why on some level, I kind of felt bad because I'm like, you know, we tried to give you BBWs a motherfucking chance, and this is what the fuck you do because you used to motherfuckers fucking with you and only hitting it from the back. You know what I'm saying? You used to motherfuckers fucking with you with the lights off and shit. You know what I'm saying? You used to motherfuckers, you know, leaving you, you know, cab fare or Uber money on the bed. That's what you used to. That's not what my family does. They kings at all times. So ain't nobody, you know what I'm saying, that's cool, whatever, whatever, but you was mad because my brother didn't want to fuck with you, and the reason he didn't want to fuck with you is because you was unworthy and he was not physically attracted to you. That's really what it was. You know what I'm saying? So instead of you just taking that saying, you know what, he really likes me or whatever, I'm so motherfucking conceited, I'd have been like, shit, ain't nothing wrong with me. This motherfucker just liked me a lot and shit, I ain't even have to do nothing, you know what I mean? But you didn't do that. You took that as an insult, and so as a result, you started exhibiting attention-seeking behavior, which is something that whores do. Queens don't got to do that. Concubines don't even do that because they know their place. They know their role. Concubines don't have a place. They have a role in a man's life. You know, they're the cleanup woman. A concubine is a well-kept, you know, hoe, but she's well-kept. She has a place. You know what I mean? When the wife is tripping or whatever, or the whoever she is, that's what the concubine is for. And she usually ends up being wiped as well. In the nations, like I said, let me be clear, Americans can't afford concubines. Y'all motherfuckers can't even afford your kids. Okay, let's be clear on that shit. Y'all motherfuckers can't even afford your children. So you can't afford side chicks. And I feel like this. If you can't afford, you don't need a side chick if you need a side job. You understand what I'm saying? You should focus on a motherfucker that's fucking with you and feeding you every day. Okay, but in this broad particular instance, she also was recently divorced, and I feel like she used my brother, you know, because he's a nice-looking guy and whatever, whatever, to make other motherfuckers jealous. Then, wait a minute, she did the ultimate, tried to tell my people she don't want no photos. Like, who the fuck are you? You ain't Eva Mendez, motherfucker. You should be happy somebody wanted to take a picture of your hungry hippo ass. And I keep talking about our weight because of the fact that the way that my family lives is very healthy. We have a healthy lifestyle, gardens, you know, shit like that, picking fruits and vegetables, you know, the earth people, whatever. So when we first met her and we see that she's unhealthy, you know, eating all this shit that she has no business eating, and her lifestyle was not the same as ours. We're very active. We're running marathons. My son was 8 years old running a 5K, you know, and you can't run around a corner, but you can run to the store to get some Cheetos. Get the fuck out of here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't like that. And it wasn't a match. But again, my brother is grown, so I can't tell my brother, hey, I did say I don't like her. She's a motherfucking whore. I'm going to just say that shit up front. You know I didn't like you. If you're listening, you know I don't like you. And I'm advising him not to talk to your bitch ass. Seriously. Because the fact that as a woman, you couldn't even keep your crown on long enough to make somebody feel welcome in your home, that really sticks out to me, because I could hate a motherfucker to the death of me. You're going to always have clean towels. You're going to have something to eat, and I'm going to be gracious that you spent some time with me, and you're going to go home. You're not going to go home and talk about my ass, you know, or say that I treated you less than. No man can ever say, unless they snap the fuck out on me, but you ain't gonna never say I treated you bad. Like, I starved you out. I didn't take you in the public or whatever. Because if you're my dude, we going in the public. That's what we doing. But I would never tell a man, don't take no pictures of me. You could take all the pictures you want of me. But do you covet me, or are you trying to show up? Because if you covet me, you could take all the pictures, but you're not going to show them. Because that's personal. That's between me and you. But if you don't want me to take pictures, like, what are you hiding? Who the fuck, like, who are you? Are you crazy? So like I said, if I ever seen her, I wouldn't even throw a punch. I would just smack her in her throat, whatever, whatever. And see, she'll understand. He got about it, sisters. Like, if we would have found out that he was down there being made to be uncomfortable, we would have sent him to a hotel. See, my brother don't know that we could have sent him to a hotel. Because my one sister, she like a Black Diamond member or whatever, you know, it is that she does. You know what I'm saying? And I have money. I would have sent you a plane ticket to come home. So then now you've invited the sisters into the situation because you made somebody feel uncomfortable. But as a rule, you should always pick the queen over the concubine, over the whore. Because the whore, you know, that's just a cheap luxury thrill. And I don't think that my brother looked at her like she was a whore. I did. I always did. I knew you was a whore. Always, straight up, all day. All day, like Kanye. I did, I knew. But you know what? Sometimes you got to let people take them lumps, you know, and you got to let people, you know, learn so that these are lessons that I learned, you know, 10 years ago. You know what I'm saying? So this is just one of my Amy Winehouse songs that I just wanted to play. And it's, I mean, she got 3 songs that I'm really, that are some of my favorites. And she did some songs with Tony Bennett as well before she passed away, as well as with Nas. But this is one of my favorite songs. And it describes how I feel when I'm in a relationship.
Just to be stronger than me. You've been here 7 years longer than me. You know you're supposed to be the man. Now pale in comparison to who you think I am. You always wanna talk it through. I don't care. I always have to comfort you when I'm there. But that's what I need you to do. Stroke my hair. Cause I'm
And that was my girl, Amy Winehouse. The video is actually hilarious, so you guys got to take a look at that. And it just goes to show you that, you know, part of being a queen, too, is recognizing kinks. So that's why when some of y'all get mistreated by me, it's your own goddamn fault. It's your motherfucking fault because you allowed me to do it. And I just told somebody yesterday, I said, you know, y'all always want to talk about you a king, but where the fuck are you leading me to? You know, part of being a queen is that I'm, you know, I'm supposed to be waiting on the quote unquote the man to lead me in the way that we're supposed to go. I can't be making all the motherfucking decisions, because if I'm making all the decisions, then I'm King Denise. That's what the fuck that is. And then I'm gonna ask you to address me accordingly. Then I'm gonna disrespect the fuck out of you. Probably try to burn you with cigars or some shit during sex. And then I don't want to be with you anymore, because now it's turned into a dominatrix situation, and that's not what I want. You know, I like to be the girl in the situation, and if I'm not made to feel like the female in the situation, I'm going to grow tired of that bullshit, and I'm going to let you go. You know, you want to be the queen, shit, you be the queen too. You know, and there was a video that was posted not that long ago, and it's a guy, he was saying, and it's funny because it was like off rip. I think he's from Alabama somewhere, and he was like, yeah, he was like, I was at the gas station, and I saw this girl pumping her own gas, and this dude was just sitting in a car. And so he went up to the lady and was like, you know, let me pump your gas. And she was like, no, my man is in the car. He's like, no, not really. You know what I mean? Dude got out of the car and was like, nah, bro, she good. He's like, nah, she not good. Because if she got to pump her own goddamn gas, she ain't good. Now, don't get it twisted. If I, you know, my son pumps my gas. He's 11 years old. You know, been pumping my gas really since he was like 6 or 7, you know, standing right there with me. You know, my brother's pumped my gas. My, you know, I don't do too much. But these are things that I require. You know, I require you to go and open the door, not just on some chivalry shit. If it's raining, it's not like I'm a, you know, stand there and wait outside till you open the motherfucking door. But at the same time, when you expect me to do womanly things or wifely things or queen-like things, anything, don't fucking expect it then. You don't want to play your part, I ain't going to play mine either. You know, I'm a queen at all times, but I'll just cut you the fuck off. So if I got to be the man and the woman in a motherfucking relationship, I don't want to do it. So I'm not going to do it. You know, and this isn't just finances, you know. Y'all always want to blame the white man and shit. The white man took the black man out the home. The black man been running from the black woman in the home for fucking years. Before Maury Povich even came on TV, the black man been running from the fucking black woman. That's just what the fuck it is. So we could sit up there and we could watch Selma. We could watch one of the most profound things I watched when I saw Selma was that the government itself said, we're not going to get to Malcolm by attacking his character, integrity, his nonviolent movement. He said, attack the family. And that's exactly what they did. And that's how Coretta got, you know, hold of the tapes of him, you know, sleeping with women and whatever, whatever. Because if you attack the family structure, the black man won't survive. You know, he needs the strong mother figure. So whether that's the mother, and then it trickles down into the wife. But y'all ain't wifing motherfuckers no more. Y'all ain't getting married. It is a small victory and triumph when I see two black people marry each other. Now, I just saw Joe and Bree get married. You know, Bree is black woman. She's Canadian. Joe's a white guy. You know, but he's down for the movement. He's my partner with Niagara Falls Street News. And that was a beautiful thing to watch because they're young. Not because of race. Forget race. It's because they were young. You know, they have not been scathed by the world yet to the point where either one of them was hurt so bad that they don't want to give the other a chance. They don't have children yet. They don't have, you know, so it's beautiful to watch people try to build, you know, and they're coming from, I mean, this is a guy that's giving up his citizenship as a United States, you know, person to move to Canada to be with his woman. You know, so they've made the sacrifices. So that I respect, and that was actually one of the first weddings that I actually emceed. And so they've done the sacrificing, and it's sad because I don't see black men doing that. You know, this is a white guy, big, tall, Paul Bunyan, redhead. He would be mad at me if he heard me say that. But I don't see black men doing that. Like, what actual sacrifice are you making to be with your woman to say that you're the only person that I want to be with? Because these hoes ain't loyal. They're not loyal. They're not going to be with you for the long haul. The first chance that they get, you know what I'm saying, to deal with somebody that has more than what you got or what they perceive than what you got. See, I don't like a showboat. I like a motherfucker that's like, nah, we good. You know what I'm saying? I'm not pulling out my wallet, but we good. You know what I'm saying? That's all I need. I don't need you to pay my bills. I don't really have any bills. You know what I'm saying? I'm self-made, not man-made, but at the same time, I don't want to feel like, you know, that I have to hold you down. I made a comment last week where I was like, yeah, I'll hold you down under some fucking water with some goddamn cinder blocks. Don't ask me to ever motherfucking hold you down. You a goddamn man. You fucking figure it out. You go work at the car wash, the pizza shop, whatever the fuck you need to do. Yeah, I could give you a couple of months where if you lost your job, you fell from grace, because I know a lot of brilliant engineers, you know, that are out of work because of the economy. You know, and these are cats that spent over $100,000 to go to school, you know, working $100,000 jobs just out of work. But am I going to let you wallow in misery and shit? Hell no. Nah. You better get your ass up and go to work. I got shit to do. So I respect a Walmart man that's working at Walmart because he's like, shit, money is money. Money ain't got no, I don't care where it comes from. I don't give a fuck about titles. You know, that's something that we talked about over the summer. I don't give a fuck what you call me. You can call me what you want. Just don't call me broke. You know what I mean? As long as I can go and get some money, I'm good. I ain't never going to be broke. You know what I'm saying? I don't give a fuck if I was in a motorized red motherfucking wheelchair speeding down the street. I'm going to be 150 years old still getting money. That's why I write books, so I can get royalties. One of these days, somebody else going to buy 500 copies at a time and distribute it to their class for a nonfiction project. I don't care. I appreciate you. But what I do know is that a lot of men have gotten sissified in the pussification of men, as Erica Pittman from the Singles Project, which shout out to them. The Singles Project actually won an Emmy. It won an Emmy for something, documentary series, whatever. I was involved in that a little bit, so they were trying to get me on the show to date one of the cast members. I never went, actually, because I was busy up here working, being a mom, doing what I do, and they were contacting me at the last minute. But definitely, shout out to them. If you go back and look at some of my timelines on Facebook, I shout them out. Much respect to Erica Pittman. She is Ciroc, as in Diddy, brand manager, and she was dating Dr. Lee Gauss, who runs a dental clinic out of New York City that does a lot of repair work for a lot of the professional athletes, but he also goes to the Philippines. He goes to South Africa, different places, to help children with cleft palates and that don't have the proper dental care that they need. So, you know, you always love a man that, you know, can do some type of charity, because once you have self-actualized to a certain level, which is why a lot of people love Russell Simmons. People don't fuck with Russell Simmons. If you ever notice, he's weird than a motherfucker, but, you know, you don't fuck with Russell Simmons because he makes so much money that he's not able to give back to the community. You know what I mean? And he's winning awards, you know, all the time. He's doing yoga and doing fucking splits on his head and shit like that. But he's on some king shit. The fact that he doesn't talk about Kamora Lee Simmons and the fact that she's been remarried twice, and she doesn't talk about the fact that he likes freaking supermodels and, you know, whatever, whatever, or white girls or whatever it is that he's dealing with. It doesn't matter, because at this point, they both got so much motherfucking money. It doesn't matter. They're raising their daughters. Their daughters look like young ladies, not whores and tramps. You know, you don't see their daughter. The one daughter is still in a one piece. I appreciate that, because I remember not being able to have a boyfriend until I'm 16. But that's what kept me from being a goddamn whore. You know, my friends back in the day that were allowed to kind of do what they wanted to do and wear the Payless shoes and wear the little outfits from the store we had called Attractions and, you know, be, you know, a little bit too sexualized, they ended up being motherfucking whores. You know, and now they're in situations that it's like they're stuck in the 90s. They're stuck, you know, in a decade ago. You know, and then me and my family, we just kept it moving. We was like, nah, we good. We just, you know what I'm saying? Let's do these squats. Let's do this running. Let's do what we need to do. So as a rule, as a man, it's important for you to know the difference between a queen, a concubine, and a whore. And you have to treat them accordingly. You can't treat a queen like a concubine or a whore. You can't treat a whore like a queen. You can't treat a concubine like a queen. You have to stay in your motherfucking lane. And that's why the show is called this. Because anytime you don't stay in your lane, you risk the embarrassment of your ego. You know, so now you like, are my feelings really hurt, or did this motherfucker just really hurt my ego? Because I don't got to talk to you. My number one thing that I say to these men all day long, all day, I don't got to fucking talk to you. I don't give a fuck if I'm 150 years old with a flap of wrinkle up underneath my left titty. I don't have to fucking talk to you. Somebody will love that motherfucking flap up underneath my left titty. I don't have to talk to you. I don't ever feel like any man is the end all, be all, that's it. You know, it is what it is. But when I'm happy, I don't have no reason to look for nothing else. So it's in any man's best interest, make me happy, and I'm going to make you happy, and then we good. You don't got to fucking worry about me. I could keep my legs closed and my mind open. Okay, I don't need for you to touch me physically to be touched. I don't need that. Do I need flowers sometimes? Yeah, that's nice. Flowers die. Do I need books? I love books. Do I need you to send me something that came from your heart and it might have only been $10? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you have to be able to do for me what I cannot do for myself or what I don't want to do for myself. You know? So whether that's you could fix a fucking car, can you change the fucking rims on my Jeep? Can you, you know, what can you do? Because I know what I bring today. I'm very aware. You know, that's why I'm trying to mold my son into the type of young man that, you know, I don't want him to need a woman when he gets older. I don't want him to be like, damn, my, you know, I had to settle in with her because, you know, I can't cook. I don't know how to wash clothes and she washed my clothes. She cooks. I want my son to be like, nah, I'm good. What else can you do? What else do you do? You know, I have a business. I know how to wash my clothes. I know my son knows how to wash his clothes now. I know how to cook myself some basic meals to get me through the week. I don't need you for nothing else. What else are you bringing to the table? Can I bring you around my mother? Can I bring you around my little sister? You know, my son's sister just turned 3 years old. Such a cutie patootie. She's looking more and more like my son every day. But she's not my daughter. She's my ex-husband's daughter to his new wife. So, you know, you go through maturity and you go through stages. But like I said, we're going to end the show with Amy Winehouse. My apologies to anybody that was listening because the show didn't want to act like it started. It sounds like my people didn't tune in until I turned on anyway. But, you know, I just, people got to understand and everybody got to stay in their lane. If it, anytime I've gotten my motherfucking feelings hurt is because not so much I didn't follow my heart, but I didn't follow my spirit. I ain't got no fucking heart. I ain't got no heart for these hoes. I don't give a fuck about you. I'll slap your mother. I don't care. But I do feel spiritual connections with people. And when I feel like somebody's a motherfucking whore, that's what you are. When I feel like you unworthy of my time, my family's time, you shouldn't even been around us because you're just fucking beneath. You know, I feel like the father on coming to America when he was like, you are beneath me. It is beneath me. Like, I feel like I got a lion's head and like a fucking Dookie gold chain necklace on and shit. That's how I feel like I need to talk to this motherfucker if I ever see her again. But, you know, now, you know, she running around. She got my brother's energy on her, you know, because he's 100% cat. She was probably functioning at 62% fail in life. And so now she took the other, you know, 38% that she needed. But what people don't understand is when you steal other people's energy, that's not your energy to keep. You know, it's supposed to keep you charged up. You know, it's supposed to keep you where you need to be. But within about 2 weeks, when you're not able to tap into that source, no, bitch, die. Die outside that energy. Get your own fucking energy. Because you tapping into energy sources here, there, and everywhere in between, it spreads you thin. And what ends up happening is that because you don't know who you are, because you're a fucking whore, whores can't keep energy because they expend it all the time. See, I'm a queen. I keep all my shit to myself. So therefore, when I deal with the king or whoever it is that I'm dealing with, he gets all the energy. And trust me, he could tell the difference. If my energy was tapped, he would know. You know what I'm saying? Because we're connected on that level. So it doesn't really matter what the fuck he's doing on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Motherfucker, I'm going to know if your energy's tapped too. And that's part of being connected. That's part of being a queen. You know what I'm saying? Concubines, they just there for what their job is. I ain't got no job. I do whatever the fuck I want to do. But as a whore, you got to know that me and my people knew you was a motherfucking whore when I seen you. You know what I'm saying? So you should know that you probably not out up here no more. And it is what it is. But I'm going to leave y'all. I'm trying to think what I feel like. I feel like I want to leave y'all with another Amy Winehouse. And, you know, I loved her. You know, she really suffered. She actually just did a movie out in a, not she, but, you know, her family put together a documentary, kind of like the one on Nina Simone with Netflix, but it was at the theater over in Toronto. I wasn't able to see it, but here is the song that she sampled, the infamous Nas song, In My Bed. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow and tell the truth you don't say. I'm going to tell you
wish I could stay and break my heart like you did in the beginning.